Well, amen. Thank you, Sister Alicia. Boy, I tell you what, the Lord can write us down as righteous because of Jesus. No other reason. No other reason. Amen. What a tremendous truth right there. I want you to go to the Old Testament with me. We're going to take a few points from an old story, true story, having to do with King David. And we want you to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Now, if you get over to 1 and 2 Samuel, go to your right, you'll hit 1 and 2 Kings, then you're going to hit 1 and 2 Chronicles. I want you to stop in about chapter 14 of 1 Chronicles. And I want to speak to you a little bit this morning on a godly breeze. Godly breeze. I've had some breezes that were not too godly. We used to pastor in the country. I was up there last Sunday. Appreciate the folks that did a good job for me here while I was gone. And as I headed to the country church where I pastored for 3 years, I told my wife, I hope that chicken yard is gone. Because about a quarter mile from the church building was a chicken yard, and the breezes off of it was not godly. They were rough. When I was a kid, sometime I hear somebody complain about something, say, well, something stinks. And some of the adults would say, maybe it's your upper lip. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah, maybe it's your upper lip. Well, I want to talk to you about a godly breeze this morning. Chapter 14, I want you to get a little bit of a setting here. The Philistines had been at war with Israel. Ancient enemies still are today. In fact, you notice the word Palestinian today, Palestine, Philistine, not much difference. And you can get a lot of insight on what's going on today if you know about that. But in chapter 14, you find that David has had to run from Saul. Saul has been killed now. The Philistines have wiped him out. Saul started off good, but he turned out to be a pretty bad king. And things were really bad under his reign. It got to where the Philistines would come in. They'd raid the farmers of Israel. They'd take their crops. They would do them damage and all of that. And Saul was not a good leader there toward the end. He got in trouble with God and so forth. And you have a bunch of men that go down and they find David. He's down in Hebron. And they come to him and they basically want to elect him to be their leader. And this you can read in 2 Samuel chapter 5, how they come to him. And they come to him and they said, you know, the good days of Israel, when we were winning our battles and we were being protected, you were basically the leader under Saul that was doing this. So they wanted David to become the leader, to become the king. And so you find that David accepts, and as soon as he does, the enemy rises up. I mean, time he gets elected, the enemy really rises up big. I want you to start looking at it here in verse 8 of chapter 14 of 1 Chronicles. And it says, and when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines, and wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. So they came up to Baal-perazim. You'll find that's the word that means where the breaches met, where the breaks were. And David smote them there. Then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned. Those gods were burned. That means they were idols, wood, stone, whatever, burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. for God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Now we find here the enemy rose up. Then we find that God showed up. And we can learn some things from this story. In fact, it'll fit real good into the days that we're experiencing now. I want to ask some questions and answer them a little bit from the text here. To begin with, I want you to notice that evil fears good. Evil fears good. Now, people that are good ought to fear evil. That's true in a sense, but good fears evil. If you were to read, and you don't have to turn to it, but over in Proverbs 29, about verse 27, it says, "He that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked." He that does right, he that is upright in the way, is looked on as an abomination, held as an abomination by the wicked. Now, I want to say this. These Philistines had their own gods. And what you got here, you got a warfare of gods going on. They brought their gods into battle with them. They brought their images. They brought their idols, as it were, into the battle. And when they were defeated by David, David burned their gods. I'm glad I got a God that can burn others, but I can't burn him. But a lot of folks' gods are going to burn up. They're going to be burned up by the real God. But they had their own gods. Today in America, I look around and I see the fear. Boy, there's all kind of fear talk going on. I understand the government now is ordering a course to help you be comforted over Trump getting elected. Truth, I didn't make that up. Amazing. Today in America, a lot of, you know what we got going on in America today? We got a fight between the gods. Did you know that Satan is called the god of this world? That's what the Bible calls him. And what you got a struggle of the gods going on today. And the hate that we see is supernatural hate. It's beyond politics, folks. There's a crowd out there that hates anybody that does good. To do good is to follow God's will and to get the animosity and the hate directed at you. It's amazing. It's amazing. I did appreciate the president's speech the other day, because when he identified the Islamic terrorists, he was within a few feet of the man that wouldn't call them Islamic terrorists. But that's what they were. That's what they are. And it is a contest of the gods, and America's in trouble. We don't watch out. I was seeing in Germany where they have what I'd call a county or a state that's being ruled under Sharia law. In other words, the laws of the land didn't count anymore. It had been supplanted, replaced by false gods' laws. In America, we are not far from that unless we can see this thing turned around. But the ungodly values that we have seen get entrenched in our nation today reminds me how that evil fears good. Fear it. Now, I saw a little bit of the crowded streets with the women marching. Somebody said, "Look, the president is doing real good. Those ladies that need to exercise are getting it." And you could make another rendition or two out of that, but that's a good thing. I'll tell you one thing. So what were they doing out in the streets? Well, they were sending the president a message. I don't know whether he got the message or not, but God got a message from him. And the message God got was, "We want to keep on killing our babies." Isn't that amazing? What do they fear? Fear somebody stopping them. Somebody that would do good and replace the bad with the good, and therefore they've created a fear in the land. That's the craziest thing I've heard. I heard one of the women being, and I know all of them probably wasn't of this persuasion, but most of them were, and I heard one saying on there, "We're out here representing the transgender community." Well, you're representing evil, whether if you know it or not. That's what you're representing. And you are sending a message, but the message is going over the president's head, and it's going all the way up to God. Now, I got my own opinion, and some of you, if you'll be real quiet, we won't know that you disagree with me until after you leave. And then you can get in the car and blast off at your wife, or she can blast off at you. But right now, don't expose your hand. I can't imagine my wife out there on the street for a cause like that. Man. Somebody said, what about those women's husbands? I don't think they got husbands. Some of them may have some wimps at home that are pretending to be husbands, but very few really got men at home. Amen. I'm a little bit like the preacher at the door. He preached something like I'm doing this morning. And this lady really got in his face at the door. You know, preachers have to face it at the door when they shake hands with you. And this woman really got in his face at the door, and she said, I'll tell you something. If you was my husband, I'd poison your food. He said, yes, ma'am, and if you were my wife, I'd eat it. Yeah. Amen. I see something here that's quite interesting, though. Evil has always feared good, and that's a lot of what the fear is right now. There's some folks financially had their hand in the cookie jar. They're afraid. There's some folks that want to continue to do evil, and homosexuality was being enthroned, and all this evil that was going on, and they're scared to death that somebody might get in there and put the brakes on it. And that's what they're fearing right now. But I look a little further here in the text. I see not only that evil fears good, I see that the enemy came back again. Look at it in verse 13. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. He beat them the first time. He scared them off, but they came back. And I want to say to you, we need to understand the devil never quits. And we Christian people have a hard time learning that. You know, when you get saved and you start trying to live right, don't expect everything to be a rose bed. The devil will fight the hardest to keep you from being a very productive Christian after you get saved, if he can. He'd like to keep you from getting saved, but once you get saved, he don't want you to be used by God to reach anybody else. And so he'll fight you. I remember, I didn't know a thing about the Bible. I heard the gospel. I knew there was a God. I got saved. I was driving my race car. We were racing at about three different tracks in Florida at that particular time. And doing pretty good. But I got saved. And I was driving back in from North Florida on a Saturday. I believe it was a Saturday. And my racing team was supposed to meet me at a racetrack in Orlando. And I just gotten saved, I mean that very week before, I think the weekend before. And I'm driving my car down the road and I'm thinking, boy, I've been doing pretty good. I'm leading the point standing. Now that I've gotten saved, everything's gonna go perfect. Boy, was I learning a lesson that day. I remember right on the road I was on when I stopped and got a sandwich, and I was thinking those kind of thoughts. And I went on to the racetrack. My car was supposed to meet me there in 30 minutes, and 30 minutes passed, and it didn't. And an hour passed, and it didn't. And it got to be race time, and it still wasn't there. My crew had gotten mixed up and taken my car to Tampa, and I was in Orlando. I wanted to say, God, it's supposed to go perfect now. What happened? And there's a whole pile of people that suffer under that. God lets you learn that lesson. No, the devil will fight you after you get saved. He'll cause your faith to be tested. And you'll find out that it's not a bed of roses to be a Christian. The struggle goes on, but the difference is you've got God in the struggle with you. And I tell you what, the enemy will come again just like these Philistines did, just like they did. If we're going to take America back, we can't go back to sleep. I think something as good has happened. I believe there is a godly breeze blowing. I think so. But if we go to sleep, the devil is not going to sleep. In the crowd you've seen burning cars and out in the streets and busting windows, that crowd's not going to sleep. His side's not going to sleep. And if you and I, as God's people, if we care for America and saving it for our grandkids that are coming on, then the truth is we better stay alert. Eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. It always has been. It still is. We hear good statements like America first and take America back. And I'm all for that, but we won't do that just with the status quo. We are going to have to speak up, stand up, and do what we can when we can. We've got to stay awake. Got to stay awake. You know, the enemy came again. And the reason David won, though, was God was in it. See, that breeze in the top of the mulberry trees signified, that sound signified God is here. And God had given them a signal. He said, ambush them, go in the trees, but you don't move out of the trees until you hear a going, a breeze, a sound in the top of the trees. That was going to identify God was ready and God's presence was there. You see that in the rest of the Bible. For instance, when the Jews came in for the Passover lamb, or Passover in Jerusalem, the priest, the entourage of priests would follow in to go into the temple to offer the lamb. And that entourage of priests would have these tall willow branches and palm branches, and they'd be waving them like this. They were making the sound of a wind blowing. They were identifying the presence of God in the sound of the wind. When we'll study it here, we'll talk more about the resurrection in a few weeks, but when the kids were out there crying for Jesus, when he come in on the donkey, and they were crying, Hosanna in the highest, they were picking up those same branches and laying them down in front of the donkey. The branches that the priest had laid down as they come in signifying the presence of God with the sound of wind as they move those tree limbs. You find that in the Bible in more than one place. How about on the day of Pentecost when they're all assembled, 120 in the upper room, and they came a what? A sound as a rushing mighty wind. God, Jesus had told them, you wait. They were waiting to that 50th day. They were waiting for the time for the presence of God to show up. David was hid in the mulberry trees waiting for the presence of God to say, now's the time to go. And David won the battle because God showed up. Now, in our recent election, I said it from the right at first, God showed up. You can't explain it no other way. I mean, you take the little bit of money that was spent compared to the other. You take some of the phenomena that we have seen happen, and you can't explain it outside of God. God's people went to the polls better than they have in a long time. That don't mean we elected the Messiah. It don't mean that the man don't have his faults, but it does say that God decided, I believe, to let his presence be known. In the inauguration, and I did stay and watch some of it at home. I stole some time and did it like some of you probably did. But there was one woman being interviewed by a reporter, and she said, I never heard so much about God at a political rally in all my life. I thought, amen. Thank God for Franklin Graham. It ended his prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And some other good things that took place. But David won because God showed up. It was in John chapter 3 when Jesus explained to Nicodemus that he needed to be born again. He compared it to the wind. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can't tell. In other words, you don't see the wind, but you see the action of the wind. Now, somebody in our recent election may not see God, but they ought to see the results. They ought to see that his presence must have shown up, and I believe that it did. You know, God was letting his presence be known in the top of those mulberry trees. And I believe he's letting his presence be known in our country today. I talked about the women in the street wanting to kill their babies. Now, I don't believe all of them, but so many of them. It is true, though, that abortions are going down as people begin to get more informed. There's some still bad stuff happening. One of these federal judges just stopped Texas because Texas had passed a law that the aborted babies had to be buried proper. And the judge has held that up. You know why he held it up? Because they want to sell baby parts. Sell baby parts, as awful as that is. See, the struggle, the good and evil between the gods, so to speak, is still going on. And it is going to continue to go on. The hypocrisy of some. Have you seen the commercial on TV? I know you have, unless you like me and turn it off. The commercial where they play sad music and show sad faces of dogs and cats. And it goes on and on and on. You've seen that one? Why don't they play a little sad music and show aborted babies? Wholesale murder that's going on. I'm talking about the war is still on, folks. I'm talking about we still need God. We've got to act in God's presence and in God's power, and we've got to do that in His cause. You see, these men of Israel went and elected David, and they backed him up, and God used him to set Israel free from the rule of the Philistines. And God is the same God. And He can let His presence show up among us today. You know, God was letting His presence be known. He would let it be known by the breeze and the trees. His purpose. What was His purpose? You read the text close. God was going forth before. He was leading. He was leading David's armies. It was His presence. Now, I want to make a little application. I can't guarantee this, but I have a hope. I have a hope that a godly breeze is blowing, that there's a change of direction that we can have hope in. What I'm saying to you is God's purpose there was to win the battle for David, and could it be a preview? Now, you and I, we've read the back of the book. We know the Lord comes back in glory. We know He's going to win at the Battle of Armageddon. We know He's going to put the nations down. We know that He's going to rule and reign on planet Earth with a rod of iron. We know that. We've read the book. But could God be giving us a preview of what I used to see at the movies called Coming Attractions? A preview of what I'm going to do? You know, a little bit of track that I run, and some of you know what I'm talking about. The coach always taught us to save just a little bit for the last. Just have a little bit of kick for that last 50 foot or 100 foot. Remember what I'm talking about? I'm just wondering if God, in these times when evil men are waxing worse and worse and everything seems to be bad and negative, I'm wondering if God is saying, let me show you something. I can still break forth on the enemy. I can still defeat them. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if America could come back to God in such a way that we could rush into a soul-saving revival time in this nation and elevate righteousness again like it once was? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I know this preacher's that preacher's going to be a great revival before the end, and maybe so. I hope so. It don't look like it. And then here we have a godly breeze, a fresh breeze we haven't felt in a long time. And I want to say, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll be glad to help you with it. I'll be glad to be part of the plan. This week, Lord, I'll be glad to tell others. And it may be giving some hope to people that haven't had hope in a long time. Christians have been under attack and defeated, even in America, for a long time. But folks, there might be a new breeze blowing. There is a possibility. God had to be in it. Maybe there's going to be some good change. Pray for the man. He claims he's saved. I hope he is. Pray for him that he can live and be used for God's purpose. And I'm praying for that. I mean, God could burst forth on the enemy and give us a great revival even before Jesus comes. Wouldn't that be great? Think about it. Christians ought to go out right now with a smile on their face and share the gospel like never before. The good news that Jesus loves sinners, died for them on the cross, so they can be written down as righteous where no righteousness of their own exists. As the lady was singing, this week we're going to be knocking doors. This week we're going to be telling everybody we can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week we're going to try to get as big a crowd together as we can. And we're going to tell them again in mass about the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, preachers have been muzzled in this country for a long time. And the new president says he's going to unmuzzle us, that he's going to kill that bill that IRS was using to keep us from saying anything like I've always said in the pulpit. And I'm going to say it even louder now. So if you want to go to another church, now's your warning. I think we need to speak up for righteousness. And we need to tell everybody the good news that salvation is free in Jesus because he paid the price for it. And I want to say to you today, he paid the price for you. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, you ought to get sure. God may be giving us a little bit of a rush to the finish line, a little bit of crossing in victory. Now, oh, it'd be a wonderful thing if that could be. The missionaries tell you around the world that people are getting saved faster than ever before. Not so in America, but it could be so in America. It could be so. It'd be a wonderful thing if we're feeling a godly breeze and we can see some results from it. I want to say to you this morning, the good news is you can still receive Christ and be saved. You've got time to be ready for his coming. One day, his presence won't be just identified by rustling in the trees. One day, the Bible says he's coming back and every eye is going to see him. He's going to come back in his glory. I'm wanting that day to come, but I want others to be saved before it's too late. How about you this morning? Is a godly breeze blowing across your soul today? Now's the time, God's timing, for you to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I know what you're talking about? I remember a time that God sent a breeze across me. I got under conviction. I heard the good news that Jesus loved me and died for me, and I received him as my Savior. And preacher, if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know that for sure. If you know it for sure, would you lift your hand? Would you give me that testimony this morning? Thank you. All over the building. But are you here and you'd say, preacher, I've had some times I think God blew across my soul, stirred my soul, a heavenly breeze got my attention, but I've never been saved. And preacher, when you pray, have me in mind, I need to be saved. God's doing something, friend. He's doing something right now in this whole world. Sides are being chosen up for or against the Lord Jesus Christ. This election identified the enemy and how strong they are against God, like nothing I've seen in my lifetime. But the good news is God is showing himself also. His presence is being recognized. Are you here and you'd say, preacher, I'm not saved, but pray for me. I need to be saved. Would you lift that hand this morning, anywhere in the building, just up and down for prayer? I'll say to we that are believers, we that know Christ, let's use this week to get some folks here to hear the gospel. Let's do what we can to reach others. God has given us time. He's given us freedom. Perhaps this election will break some of the cords that's been holding God's people back, and that we'll speak up as never before in his time that he's given us. Help us to be willing to do that. Father, I pray you'd bless in the invitation. I pray not one would leave this building unsaved. I pray you'd help myself, Lord, and every one of us to take this opportunity when we feel, Father, your presence has stirred up things, that we'll take advantage of it to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless now, Father, I pray right here in this room, in this invitation, I pray that no soul would leave today without Jesus. And I ask it in his name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to have an invitation song. I'm going to step to the front. If you'd come receive Christ, would you meet me here? If you want to come to...